Hey, y'all, you're listening to the Mother Far From Home podcast with me, your host, Rachel Norman. If you desperately need a common sense, down-to-earth perspective on how to mother well without losing it, living in constant stress, or needing to escape your life, you have come to the right place. Hey, y'all. So we are here to talk about the kids, the specific types of kids, personalities, behaviors, circumstances that you might have going on that would show that you would benefit from doing playtimes. So right now, until the 29th of April, my Nurture and Play program is open. We're going to start fresh on April 30th, and it closes after that. This is the first time I've opened it in over 6 months, could be 7 months now. And so what we do in these playtimes is I teach moms how to do this 30-minute once a week playtime. There's specific toys. I give you all the coaching strategies. I basically give you new lens and new perspective, new ways to see your kids and to see their behaviors, to see what they're trying to accomplish so that you can minimize some of the enmeshment or some of the rescuing or some of the basically that you can help coach them through what they're going through without you being triggered to Hades and help them resolve some of what's happening, and you can build strong connections. It's just a very transformative time. So you can go to nurtureandplay.com/join. That's nurtureandplay.com/join right now, and this will be open until the 29th of April. So let's just go straight and dive straight in. So what are some family situations that might kind of be like, okay, I've got that going on. Playtimes might be a good solution. And the first one I want to say, this is like transitions. So these are things, you know, we know what transitions are, but in a general life sense, it's if your kid or your family has gone through upheaval type of situations where life is a bit different and they're having to process it. This could be moving house, could be moving state, could be moving schools. This could be somebody moving into the house, like maybe it's an in-law. This could be moving, this could be as a result of divorce, separation. So starting school, starting a new school, because my playtimes are, we typically, it's like late two up until about 12. Now you can keep doing it after, but that's sort of the sweet spot. Potty training issues, a new baby coming into the house, death, someone being sick, even mom needing surgery, mom not physically being able to be there, how she was, could be a chronic illness that's rearing up. Mom going back to work, could be changing schools, you know, new neighborhood, new friends moving away, essentially anything that has meant a change for this child, and they don't quite seem to be just like they were before it happened. Does that make sense? Sometimes we have a change and we take it and we move on and everything feels normal and good. And then sometimes you can look back and be like, you know, ever since so-and-so, it's like they're not quite right. That's kind of what we're going for here. The next situation that is good for that playtimes are really helpful in are big emotions. So this is children who might struggle with boundaries. Maybe they explode when asked to do something. They go into super hyper whiny mode, or they go into refusal, defiant, disrespect mode. Maybe they're super sensitive. They are very tuned into your facial expressions or phrases or, you know, things like that. They might take things super personal. This could be similar. One of my sons has ADHD, and, you know, something they say that relates to that is rejection dysphoria. So kind of you giving them a constructive criticism, or they did a chore and they didn't really do it right, and you tell them and then they're like, I never do anything right. You know, just that type of feeling of shame, feeling like they're just not going to be vulnerable, you know, or even kids who bring out these emotions in you. So a huge factor of parenting is us, because we're the parent, right? And so if we have kids who have big emotions, then these types of children often can be very, very taxing. Like, we love them. We sense the strength in them and the determination, and we think this kid could go places for sure. I love this child. But they take a lot of energy, and it takes a lot of energy to not yell or scream at them or punish them. So we constantly feel like we're either giving them tons of energy and attention to get them to act right, or we're using tons of energy and attention to not kind of just punish them all the time. You know, it feels like we're sort of all held hostage by their mood, if that makes sense. These kids are excellent, excellent candidates for playtimes because there's just a lot going on that they can work through and process. And having this once a week, 30-minute time where you're present with them, no other kids are there, no other adults are there, there's no phone, nothing is happening, there's no distraction. It's really a truly we're in this together, baby, I love you type of situation. So you as a mom with a kid who has these big emotions, you will need the coaching skills to help them process through these emotions. And usually, whether it's because we didn't have great boundaries to begin with, or because some kids are so difficult, it feels like we almost don't even know how to hold boundaries with them, right? Even if we kind of had normal boundaries to begin with, right? These playtimes are actually a perfect place to sort of practice this in a low-stakes environment. You often find moms will come in, and if they struggle with boundaries, that's what's going on in the playtimes, right? Mom working out how to have boundaries, kids working out how to adapt to them, right? So another type of kind of situation that benefits from playtimes is kids who are stuck. So maybe it's a kid who's super scared about something, or they're fixated on something. Maybe they're scared of the dark, or, you know, they're scared of pets, or they're just something like this is going on. It could be they're stuck the school refusal. I didn't even know that was an actual term until recently, but it's just, they're just very resistant to going into school. They don't want to do it. Major issues. Or they feel stuck at school, you know, stuck in the sense that they're, you know, can't get past certain subjects, or they feel frozen. When I say stuck, another way to think about that is kind of you feel like they freeze up in certain scenarios. It could be sibling issues that don't seem to resolve. So some siblings that are stuck in some behavior patterns. It could be grudges. So it's like they're kind of got grudges they can't let go of. So they could be playing out the same things over and over again, right? It could also be, for example, phobias. So any kind of behavior where you think your kid is stuck, they get frozen, they're kind of fixated on something instead of just sort of passing it through. This is a great opportunity to do playtimes. And of course, sometimes things will just pass. Like that does happen. But you don't always know if they're, it's kind of like that situation where it's like you took a chance and it ended up well and you thought, glad I did that, but you took a chance and ended up badly. You were like, why did I do that? It's like waiting to see if something passes. It may pass or it just literally may not, and you don't know until you've sort of quote wasted that time. And it's only not wasted if it worked out. Does that make sense? So for some of these things, there's no point in actually waiting to see if kids get over it in 3 years, because there's something you can do to address it, right? So saying move on or get over it, or, you know, or worse, like, you know, you're a wuss or whatever when kids are stuck. Of course, of course, that's never our first instinct. But I do often hear from mom, it's like when your kid is stuck and they're refusing or they're hesitating or it's the same thing over and over again, it's demoralizing for moms, right? And so if you feel like you're in this place where you're kind of wanting to say, get over this, move on, quit being a wuss, like if these are the words that are on your tongue, this just shows not that you're a bad mom, not that you're not patient. Moms come to me so often and they're like, I have a bad temper. I'm like, tell me about your life. And I'm like, no, you have a normal temper. This, everything that's happening is just over the line, basically. If you find yourself wanting to say those things, then you know your kid is stuck because you're feeling powerless because you can't get them to move past them being stuck, right? This is a great opportunity for them to play and work this out. So if you notice there's a pattern going on that isn't working great for your kids and it's not working great for you, then I would consider have a look at the playtimes. So another type of situation that makes, you know, sense to delve into these playtimes as a strategy to resolve them is connection difficulties. So now when I say this, I always say this to moms, you know, after they've come in my programs and things, our connection with our parents is so strong. I feel like there's a sense, so I'm not right now scaring you, okay, that some connection, I'm not, because keep listening. Kids can be put up for adoption and not know about it for decades and then find out about it and then feel like they have a strong connection to a parent they don't even remember meeting. We can have connections to our first boyfriend from decades ago. You know, we, even if our parents were horrible, mine were not, but you know, I'm not airing my dirty laundry here, but I know a lot of moms have a lot of parents that were just bad, basically, like had a lot of their own struggles and the way they parented them was just bad and a hot mess. Even now, do you feel connected to them? Of course you do. Even if you wish you weren't, because it's just not something that's like some little string you can just kind of pull and it breaks. So personally, the idea for me that a lot of moms are freaked out about is that every little thing we do breaks connection. I just think that's total BS and bogus. I got to be honest with you. Okay. I think that the connection there is very strong. But when I say connection difficulties, what I'm talking about is the sense, the feeling of feeling that kind of warm, me and you, you know, harmonious connection. So the connection is there. It's not broken, but it might feel negative at some times, or it might feel fraught with fighting instead of feeling like I see you when you walk in the room and you see me and we want to smile and we want to touch and we want to connect. Like, you get what I'm saying by that. So I don't know if I just was like a crazy caveat, but I want moms to be encouraged by that. But anyway, so if you feel like your child is withdrawing, so if you feel like you're wanting to connect and they're withdrawing, this is a good time because you might, well, who knows why they're withdrawing? Kids will know, they probably don't even know, but playtimes can help them work things out to where they're able to come back in, you know, kind of come back and enter into that relationship. If you notice them not wanting to touch or snuggle or hug or when they used to, that just shows they have something going on, right? It doesn't necessarily mean you've done something, quote unquote, but something's there. Something's going on. If you sense there's a distance with you and your child and you don't know why, it's like, oh, I know something. The connection is not broken because it doesn't break, but there is some kind of, there's something here going on and I don't know what it is, you know? By the way, when you join Nurture and Play, I teach you the exact skills to help figure all of this out that you will use in playtimes, but that you will also just use in normal life because, and then you will find, oh my goodness, I get such good info out of this because it's just essentially the coaching skills you'll use to help them bring through this. So these playtimes, yes, you gather toys, yes, you sit to play, but all in all is you're using coaching skills, professional skills, honestly, because this program was created with my mentor, Sandy Blackard, along with, you know, basically world. If you go to school to study child play therapy, one of the textbook, the guys you would read, certainly in decades past, was Dr. Gary Landreth, and that was her mentor. They worked together and made this type of playtime because he's like, guess what? If parents did this at home, they wouldn't need to come into play therapy. So, of course, we're not therapists, so that's not what it is. But you're learning the professional skills, and it's your child, so you've got even more info and more understanding. And so I am going to teach you how to do that. And so that's when your kid does these things like withdrawal or there's a distance, right? You can figure out what's going on. So we will, if you feel perpetually annoyed at one child, this is a great, and a lot of moms will be like, okay, which child do I start with? If you feel annoyed all the time at one child, you need to start with that child. Or if you have a child who's always withdrawing, you start with that child because something's going on, right? They're working through some kind of challenge. So if you, another under this kind of connection difficulty is if you feel like you're holding something against your child or they're holding something against you, right? These are great kind of situations that could propel us into doing a playtime. So another one, some behaviors you might see in your kids if they have a lot of anxiety or fear of things. So if you feel like your child is worried a lot or bothered by things, playtimes will help to bring these out. And you might find that your child plays out the exact thing, like my son Fletcher, who when he was three, we were riding the golf cart, got it stuck in the mud. I got the truck, put him in the back of the truck, tried to pull the golf cart out, got the truck stuck. Then we had to call our neighbor who came over to try to pull us out, and he got stuck, right? So I was laughing this whole time. Like, I thought this was an adventure. I mean, I'm home with, like, you know, I think it was four at the time, four kids, four and under. Like, to me, I didn't have anywhere else to be. Like, so this wasn't like I freaked out and put it on him, but for some reason, this getting stuck, boy, it stuck with him. I mean, he had a panic attack when Thomas, the tank engine, like somebody was in a hole and they were pouring concrete. I mean, this stuck thing, it was a thing, right? So when we did playtimes, he would just get dinosaurs stuck in Play-Doh over and cut them out over. And I mean, the whole time for weeks. And then he just stopped and that was it and it was done. I mean, so he played it specifically out. But now there's other situations, and I'm doing playtime now with a friend. One of my friends is a daughter, adopted daughter, has experienced tons of loss in her life. Lost both of her parents, then lost the grandmother that she lived with, then another grandmother. And so she was quite fearful and that, you know, would kind of follow him around, was just kind of stuck and frozen. You know, just, I mean, how could you be any different when you've gone through all that, right? So in her playtimes, and we've done them for months now, in her playtimes, she would use the specific toys that would almost kind of keep her bound up and then escape. Use a rope, get out. Put the, tie her hands up and then get out. And then over and over and over again. And just the other day, actually, one of the siblings of this girl told my daughter, you know, since she's been coming over to see your mom, it's like she's just like a kid, like she's happier. She's just running around. Like even the siblings have noticed. And there was no rocket science. This little girl's not in there telling me about all the loss she's experienced. She's just playing it out. It's like its own form of, I mean, I don't even know what else to say. It's not magic and I'm not, but it feels like that type of level of miraculous almost for what you get for it. So yeah, so they got anxiety, fear of certain things. They will, even if they don't know why, they'll kind of address it. Sometimes there's like these first few, you might do a month of playtimes and think, I don't know what they're doing. They're just like playing with the family in the dollhouse or whatever, right? But it's like they're setting the stage and then they'll just begin to kind of ease into and have a pattern and just keep doing something over and over again. And you think, what the heck's going on? And then before you know it, something in their life has just changed. And you look back and you think, oh man, I didn't. 6 months later, you look back and you're like, wait a second. He's not doing this anymore. And he did that. What do you know? It's that type of scenario. And one example, actually, in one of the type of animals you can get, there's like a snake, like an aggressive animal. And Sandy has said this that numerous times, like, for example, if a kid is upset about that toy or, you know, it's like they'll put it all the way at the edge of the room. And then the next time it's like it can be a little closer, and then it can be a little closer. And then before you know it, they're playing with it, right? So it's almost like kids will address things that they're putting away or that they're scared of too. Okay, they'll just do this on their own. So another type of kid who would really benefit from these times are kids who are just sort of, you know, extra, bless them, and they need more, right? They need a little bit more time, or they need more attention, or you feel like they're always like, can I have a time with you? Can I be 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 with you? And then you always feel like you're in this struggle to not reject them, even though you know you're not rejecting them. You're worried that's how they're reading it, right? So it could be that they're maybe acting out for extra attention, and it could be that they're acting out in a negative way. Maybe they feel like an outsider, or it could be kids who maybe are adopted or a foster situation. Like it could be a kid who's come in at a different time, come in later, and or you just know they need more extra care and attention, right? So this is a safe place for them to work that out, because this is a one-on-one time that's calm and it's peaceful, and it is good boundary practice. So, of course, I would say all kids are good candidates, because a lot of kids come in that have absolutely nothing going on, but then they use this time to build up their self-esteem, their self-confidence, their self-image. We had one in the last go-round who went in and was using the aggressive toys and setting up this big sort of fight scene, and come to find out her dad was like a federal agent. And so she was playing out her understanding of what his job might be. So just super interesting stuff. So I would say all kids are candidates, but if your kid has any of the things going on from above, then I think you're going to find that it is very transformative. And so I would say some characteristics of moms that are good candidates, and then we'll wrap up. Is basically if you have a child and you feel worried about them. So if you have a child that you worry about often, this will be good. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I equip you to be able to First of all, with the coaching skills. And as you use those, you begin to see your child differently. And you no longer see them as a helpless sort of victim. Or even, I don't want to use a victim, that might, okay. Or as helpless and needy, you begin to see your kids in a different way. And when you see them in a different way, you can call out their strengths and they see themselves in a different way. So if you have a kid you're worried about, turn the worry into action with a playtime. So another thing is you can tell something's happening with one of your kids. You're like, something's going on with this kid. I don't know what it is, but I know there's something is. And you're like, I will take action to address it. I'm going to take action. I will. I'm willing to. I want to address it. I can tell something's happening, but I don't know what it is. All right. And so this is when I'm going to teach you the skills to be able to unearth what's going on. Another is you feel guilty, stressed, and anxious, like your child's entire future is on you. This and my other program, Mother You, that's very good for this as well, is learning to realize what is actually ours to worry about and what isn't. What is actually under my control and what isn't, and being able to let go what isn't. So if you feel like you're triggered a lot and you've got a lot of fear around your kids, this really empowers your kids to do a lot of play that results in a lot of sort of transformation and growth. And because you're witnessing it and you're seeing that they're doing it without you, it's like things just fall into place and you realize that you are almost like a coach of your kids. And you can follow their lead and help with boundaries, with all the normal, good, loving things that we do, but their whole future isn't based on how perfect you are, right? And the last thing I will say, moms that are good candidates are moms who have boundary struggles. If you struggle with boundaries, this is a great place to start. It's low stakes, it's happy connection, and it's a time where you can actually begin to practice and put into place the things that later will drip over into, you know, family life, normal family life. Lots of moms said the skills that we've taught you during playtimes, now that you see them all the time in normal life, and it just helps in a lot of areas. So if this sounds like something that you're interested in, we start on April 30th, and you can go to nurtureandplay.com/join, and I will see you inside. As always, thanks so much for listening to this podcast. You can find me on my website, A Mother Far From Home, and on YouTube under the same name. If you like this podcast, I'd love it if you could write a 5-star review, and it'll help all the algorithms to get it in front of other moms who benefit from this encouragement. Until next time, keep it real out there, mama.